Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Brady.
Hour number three. This is Lock and Load, and we are speaking now, as we do, to Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. I'm glad to be here.
Yes, sir. So, Dean is a specialist in bears and in the interaction between human beings and bears. And so he does a lot of stuff about bears, and you recently wrote an article about the bears in the lower 48, which the grizzly bears in the lower 48, which should be somewhat worrisome for some people in some places, I would imagine.
Well, what was odd, and which I started looking into, I have written numerous articles about bears and bear attacks, and they're a fairly rare phenomena, but maybe not as rare as some people think, but what I noticed was there seemed to be an oddly large number of people who were killed by bears, relatively speaking, of course, in the lower 48 states, and really it's just three states. It's Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho. I mean, there's a few bears that make it up into the Selkirks and way far north Washington near the Idaho and Canadian border, but those are just a very small number, a couple dozen maybe. And so they're almost all in Wyoming, Montana, and Idaho. And back in 1975, there were only 700 to 800 bears. So I just said 750 for the purposes of rough calculation.
Right.
And then today, there's almost 2,000 bears. I mean, the official figure is something like 1,923 or something. So, roughly 2,000. I mean, you cannot make absolutely perfect census figures on these bears because all the time some of the bigger bears are killing some of the smaller bears and more bears are being born and it's just not precise. But it's in that neighborhood of 2,000. So, if you do the math on that increase from, say, 750 to 2,000 over 48 years, which was from 1975, that's about a 2% annual increase, and the average population would be about 1,300 bears. So, I mean, that's a significant number, 1,300, size of a small town, very small town, almost a village. And then up in Alaska, you have about 32,000 grizzlies / brown bears. I mean, you know, the number of bears in the lower 48 has been generally about 4% of the total number of bears in the United States. And you also have, in the neighborhood of 15,000 to 20,000 in Canada. But since I was looking at the United States, and the United States has different laws than Canada, different gun laws and all that, I just was looking at the United States, and you have this clear differentiation between bears in the lower 48 states and the bears in Alaska. So when a bear kills a human being, it makes news, pretty big news. It's almost always covered. I mean, it's possible, you know, that somebody who didn't tell anybody where they were was out hiking somewhere and got killed by a bear, and nobody ever knows. But very unlikely. I mean, just almost all the fatal bear attacks are covered extensively in the news. So we have a pretty good idea of how many people are killed by bears, and especially since, say, 1975. And the reason that I picked 1975 is because that's when bears, grizzly bears, were put, were listed as threatened, a threatened species under the Endangered Species Act.
Right.
Now, of course, they weren't legally endangered or threatened because there's 32,000 of them up in Alaska, and they're doing very well, plus another 15,000, 20,000 in Canada. And then essentially the same species of bears exists from Siberia, you know, to Spain. Now, their populations are not very large in Spain and Europe in general, but they're existing.
Right.
You know, they're not under threat of extinction, maybe in a certain area. But they got put on the threatened species list in 1975, and the hunting, legal hunting, I should say, of grizzly bears in the lower 48 was put to an end. Now, to be precise, there was very limited seasons in the far northwest of Montana for a few years, and they were stopped by court order in 1991. So what caught my attention was all, when you look at the people who've been killed by bears, well, grizzly and grizzly brown bears, they're the same species. It's just that the brown bears are where they get a lot of salmon to eat, so they get enormous.
Right.
They just get really big. So they look different because they're huge, but it's the same bears. They are capable of interbreeding. The genetics are not much different. So I looked at all of the fatal bear attacks by grizzly brown bears from 75 to present in the lower 48 and in Alaska. There's only 43 of them. Well, there's 44 because one was by a captive grizzly bear. And I didn't count that in the statistics. I didn't think it was really germane to what we're talking about.
Right.
So I looked at the 43 that were by wild grizzly bears. And 24 of those 43 were in the lower 48 states, where there's, on the average, only been 1,300 bears. And the other 19 were in Alaska, where there's 32,000 bears. So something is different between the lower 48 and Alaska. Now, some people think it might be there's just a higher population of people in the lower 48. And that's probably true. But if we look at something that happened in 1975, grizzly bears no longer could be hunted legally. And before 1975, unless they were on the national parks where they were protected, grizzly bears could still be hunted in most places where they had existed, and they had been extirpated is the correct word, I believe,
right,
from most states where they existed before because, well, tell the truth, grizzly bears make lousy neighbors. I mean, they're big and they're dangerous and, you know, they're not something you naturally want to run into, and they're really bad on livestock. Now, what happened before 1975, actually, it happened roughly about by 1900. So we got repeating firearms, 1870s. I mean, we had revolvers before then and some other repeaters, but reliable cartridge, repeating firearms, you know, I'd say roughly 1870s.
Right.
And that changed the dynamic a bit.
Let me get you to hold right there, if you would. Let me get you to hold right there. This article is at Annaland.com. It's the latest one, or one of the latest ones that Dean has had published there. And what Dean does with the whole bear dynamic is fascinating. So it's well worth the read. You should go check it out, Ammoland.com. We'll be right back to hear more about the lower 48 states and the grizzly bear with Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American-made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com. Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Welcome back. Talking to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load. We're talking about the Grizzly Bears in the lower 48, and we just come to a part where I had to ask Dean to hang on a second. So if you would, please continue, sir.
Right. What I was saying is that by 1900, Grizzly Bears in the lower 48 particularly had changed their habits a fair amount. And the reason in part was that you got reliable cartridge repeating rifles about in the middle 1870s, 1870, 1875. And that meant that a single person with a rifle in a confrontation with a grizzly bear, the bear usually dies.
Right.
And actually, it turns out it was the same thing for cartridge handguns. You got the revolvers, cartridge handguns, about the same time period. I mean, there were some pinfires before that, but they were decidedly less powerful. You just have a problem with that pin going directly into the case, that it doesn't work quite as well. They're pretty popular in Europe for a while, but they're just not quite as powerful as either a centerfire or a rimfire handgun. So we had these cartridge guns that were reliable repeaters, and bears, if they initiated a confrontation with a human, they tended to die. So they learned fairly quickly, don't initiate confrontations with humans. And the famous bears from that period were the ones that learned to avoid humans but kill livestock. And they became, you know, there were rewards put out for these bears of, you know, $500, $1,000. And that's when $20 was an ounce of gold.
Right.
It wasn't a small amount.
Right.
$20,000 today. And people worked very hard to try to catch these bears. And eventually they would get them. But some of them went for 20-year killing sprees on livestock before they were hunted down. So they were eliminated from a large number of states, with a significant population being maintained in the far remote mountain areas and in the national parks. And anybody who wants to read about this and realize just how difficult it was to find grizzlies, I recommend they read a book that was written by a British, they'd call it maybe a remittance man, but he came to America to make his fortune, and he had several ranches in New Mexico, and he developed techniques, successful techniques, for hunting grizzly bears with dogs. And he puts all this in a fascinating book called Meet Mr. Grizzly, and it just shows how hard it was to hunt grizzly bears when they try to avoid humans. But in the national parks, they weren't hunted. And then in 1975, we extended that no hunting to the entire lower 48 states. But in Alaska, grizzly bears were always hunted, except for the national parks. And I believe the military reservations, like the Elmsdorf Joint Base near Anchorage, you can hunt black bears on there, but I believe grizzly bears are not allowed to be hunted on there.
Right.
So most of Alaska, there's hunting pressure on grizzly bears, and in the lower 48, there isn't. And that, to me, seems most likely the reason for the significant difference in the number of people that are killed for a very small population of grizzly bears in the lower 48 compared to, a little bit less. Of the 43 people killed since 75 by grizzly bears, 56%, put it in a percentage, are in the lower 48. And all of them are where it's illegal to hunt grizzly bears. Now, I did a quick look at Alaska, and I'll probably do a full-blown article on this later, but I can tell you that my initial look is that of the 19 people who were killed by grizzly bears up in Alaska, almost half, 9 of them were killed in places where you can't hunt grizzlies.
What does that mean in terms of self-defense with a grizzly, if you have to defend yourself against a grizzly bear?
Up until, gosh, I think it was 2008, you weren't allowed to carry firearms in national parks. So there really wasn't much effective chance. I mean, if you were thinking about it, a big knife, you know, a hand axe, but even better yet, a spear.
What about bear spray? Could you carry bear spray on those?
Well, bear spray didn't really start much into effect till it was introduced in 87. I think it really started going about 2003, 2004.
Right.
You could carry bear spray, and bear spray does work some of the time. I mean, it's just a question of when it's going to work and when it doesn't work. We know it does not work very well. It doesn't work very well for black bears,
right?
Generally, not if the black bear is trying to eat. And it works some of the time for grizzly bears, but it's inconclusive.
Right.
And it's very hard to decide or to study how effective bear spray is compared to firearms because there isn't really good reporting, and it's hard to do an experiment. You know, put somebody out there and have a can of bear spray and get a grizzly bear pissed at them and see does it work. You know, that's not an experiment many people are willing to do. But I will say, with bear spray, the effectiveness relies on, well, three things, I would say. At least that's how it's touted.
Right.
One is that they claim it produces such a wide stream that you really don't have to aim it very much. Now, it turns out you do have to aim it, but probably not as precisely as, say, a pistol.
Sure.
And two is that it creates so much pain for the grizzly bear that it will stop the attack. Well, we know that it doesn't always work. Some of the time, it does work. And then number three, which is mentioned in the literature but generally ignored otherwise, is that it makes a strange loud noise. And the bears are sometimes driven off just by the loud noise. So, if you're going to use a handgun instead of a bear spray, well, handguns also make loud noises.
Right.
And if you're talking about pain, you know, being shot even with a 22 is pretty painful.
Pretty
so,
painful.
You know, handguns are probably at least as painful as bear spray.
Yeah.
And now the other third thing is, well, what about precision? Do you have to be a lot, you know, more accurate with a handgun than with bear spray? Well.
Well, hold up right there.
That's really.
Hold up right there, if you will. We're coming up on the next break. About to get to some other stuff because I got a question. I'm not sure if I've got the right species, but you may know about this. This article, like I said, is at amaland.com. Dean has nearly 2,400 others out there waiting for you today to go peruse. And all of them are poignant. This will be poignant years from now. This idea that, you know, the most deadly bear population in the lower 48 is grizzlies, that will still be a thing. It'll probably be bigger. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
I've seen just about every corner of this country, 3 million miles in my career. I spend a lot of hours on the road, but I love being my own boss. The road can be a beautiful place, but you're out here on your own. There certainly are risks. I'm Charles. I'm a truck driver, a husband, and a father. And that's why I choose Federal.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
USA News Update. There's been a mass shooting on the campus of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas today. Las Vegas Metro Sheriff Kevin McMahill says the suspect has been located and is dead.
Of course, we have no idea on the motive. There are a number of victims that have been transported to area hospitals.
McMahill said the investigation is ongoing, but there's no other threat to the community at this time. There is still a heavy police presence at UNLV. Former Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy announced he's resigning from Congress at the end of the year. McCarthy's departure follows an historic event where he became the first Speaker removed from power during his congressional term. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says that even after the conclusion of the Israel-Hamas war, his forces must maintain security control over the Gaza Strip. The conflict has entered its 61st day since Hamas initiated a surprise attack on Israel. John Schaefer, USA News.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Back. This is Lock and Load, and I am speaking to Dean Weingarten. Now, one thing I wanted to ask you about this as far as grizzly bears. Aren't they planning on introducing some grizzly bears somewhere in some near some community here shortly?
Yes, they're planning on introducing a couple hundred in Washington State, and I'm trying to think of the mountain range that they're going on, but it's where they do not exist now. And it's hard for me to see what the purpose is of introducing them there. The purpose, I see a couple of really good reasons. Well, no, that's I shouldn't use that. That's a value judgment. I see a couple of reasons that are being put forward, or and sometimes where they're not being put forward,
right,
to put grizzly bears in there. One is it will really piss off people who the Biden administration view as enemies. You know, outdoorsmen, hunters, mostly men, you know, mostly white men, who enjoy hunting and probably are Second Amendment advocates.
Right.
And putting grizzlies up in this area where they do not exist currently is going to make them angry. So that's one positive for the Biden administration.
Oh.
And then the other thing is that so that you can have, there's a segment of the population that wants grizzly bears introduced because it makes them feel better. I mean, I don't know why precisely. Yeah, well, that's my question, but I think they go, well, bears are furry, fuzzy forest creatures, and we treated them really badly, and they deserve to live just like humans do, and so it's a good thing to put them back there. And besides, I live in urban Seattle, and I'm never going to go out there, so I don't have to worry about them.
Right.
What
will this mean? Yeah. Isn't this sort of like Jurassic Park, where we're having dinosaurs in the so they're going to put grizzly bears somewhere?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking the same thing. I said, go with these same people like us to introduce, you know, T-Rex.
Sure.
You know, I mean, what's the point? It's a very hard sell to claim they're needed.
Where are they? Do they have 200 grizzly bears somewhere? Are they just going to go get them and catch them and bring them back? Or what?
My understanding is they're probably going to try and trap them maybe in British Columbia or other places and then release them into the area.
Where they've never been.
Well, I don't know if they've never been there because I wasn't around a couple hundred years ago.
Right.
But I don't think that they have, they haven't been there for a long time, if they ever were. I'm not sure if that is supposed to be grizzly bear previous range, you know, a couple centuries ago.
Right.
I don't know what records there are for people saying that they're grizzlies there or not. But I do think it's part of this new paganism, this new Gaia worship. You know, where animals are much more important than people. And we wish there weren't very many people around because people are a scourge on the planet. Mm. Humans are a disease that needs to be eradicated.
Right.
And we need to return the world to what it was before there were any people around.
Indeed.
I mean, I think that's sort of a self-hating way to look at the universe. And from my opinion, well, if there aren't any people, who cares? if there's no people, who's going to care? I mean, species come and go over the millennia. If we look at the evolutionary record, something like over 98% of species are extinct. So, and it's not like grizzly bears are threatened with extinction, except in particular areas. And there's plenty of grizzly bears in Canada and Alaska.
But they did not. Now, they migrated away from Washington State, obviously, because they didn't go extinct in Washington State, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. Nobody knows.
I just don't know about that.
Yeah. And now, that's the thing. See, I would be sitting back there going, okay, well, obviously they left Washington State for a reason, and now you're going to... I would postulate that they're putting them somewhere they don't need to go, because if they wanted to be there, they'd probably be there, wouldn't they?
Well, I would think that could happen because Washington State butts up to Canada. There are plenty of grizzly bears in British Columbia, Canada. And so you can't stop them from wandering down from Canada into Washington State. So I guess, I read a paper a little bit ago. It was promoting grizzly bears. And saying that we need more of them, and there's not enough. And anyway, but I was kind of surprised because they said the people who want grizzly bear hunts are essentially trophy hunters. I'm going, well, that's partly correct, I think. And then they said this, and it just floored me because it seems so clear-cut, and I was kind of surprised they were going to say it out loud. They said, and the people who want grizzly bears reintroduced are urban women. And I'm going, well, I've never heard anybody say it quite so nakedly before. I think we could probably expand on that. We could cut the group down and say single urban childless women. You know,
probably.
I don't think that's misogynistic. It's just if we look at the politics, that's how it lines up. So. Now, of course, I'm implying that single women without children like to have some kind of child substitute and a furry, fuzzy forest creature that they don't have to worry about might be a child substitute for my armchair psychology, which I don't have a degree in and I don't play one on the radio.
I understand.
So just speculating.
Right.
But it is kind of telling to say that the people who most want the grizzly bears introduced and maintained somewhere are those who don't live there. And people who live there pretty uniformly don't want the grizzly bears reintroduced.
Sure. Well, I mean,
bears are bad neighbors.
Didn't we see this somewhere else with wolves?
Yeah, we have over and over again. I originally grew up in Wisconsin.
Right.
I guess I'm still growing up, so anyway. But I grew up in northern Wisconsin, and wolves have been encouraged to repopulate northern Wisconsin, and there are lots of wolves in northern Wisconsin right now. I was just talking to my brother this morning. It's late muzzle-loading hunt. He was out in the woods. He said, you know, and we grew up on a river, so I know various cross river where we normally hunt deer.
Right.
He said, you know what I see over there in tracks? Lots of wolf tracks, and I think I might have saw one fawn track, he said. So wolves tend to eat a lot of deer and other game, and that's why one of the reasons we got rid of them in the first place is because they're direct competitors with people hunters, people who are hunters. And so, and yet, we have this clamor to reintroduce wolves for, that seems to me, very peculiar reasons. I said, well, wouldn't it be cheaper to just buy some remote speakers out there, you know, where they could let out a wolf howl every now and then, and, you know, people could say, oh, yeah, I heard a wolf howl up in the North Woods, and they'd be satisfied.
Right.
But the people who live with wolves quickly decide they're not good neighbors, and they really don't want them around. And so that's how this breaks out politically. People live with wolves don't want them, but people who don't live with wolves want to impose them on somebody else. And I actually think there's a kind of a meeting of the minds that could happen here.
Right.
Let's have the people who want the wolves in those places just be willing to pay for the damage that wolves do. You know, and if the deer population drops and you don't get as much of a harvest of deer, then they should be paying the hunters, you know, to either get more deer in or pay them to go somewhere else to hunt. They want the wolves, let them pay for what it costs to have the wolves there.
Hang on for me.
But of course, they won't do that.
Hang on for me, if you will, talking to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each three-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Speaking with Dean Weingarten, we've been talking about bears. Is there a benefit to introducing local apex predators back in somewhere for any particular reason other than the novelty of it?
Good question. Now, the other side would claim that there's a benefit that they somehow benefit the ecosystem. But when you look at the claims, it's all opinion.
Right.
You know, do you want animals that, you know, destroy more trees and benefit one species over the other? Or do you not want them? You want to benefit other species over a different species? I mean, it's really, I think it's all a matter of opinion. There's what we see is with apex predators is that they do not control game populations.
Right.
The predator populations and the game populations jump up and down. And if you encourage too many predators, you can have a situation where the game population is brought down to a very low level. And that causes the predator population to crash. And then both of them are kept at a very low level because as soon as the game population starts to recover, the excess number of predators keeps it down. So it's, predators are a very poor way to manage game populations. They just don't work very well with that. Some people just say they like the idea of having things out in the woods with teeth. Well, I guess there's some benefit to it. I mean, I didn't worry about necessarily carrying a firearm with me when I was growing up in northern Wisconsin. You often had one, but I didn't always. And now, when I go out in the woods, I always have at least a handgun on me.
Right.
So what are the chances of attack? Pretty small. I mean, we just had that case where a mountain lion was killed by a archery hunter down in Buffalo County in Wisconsin.
Right.
And the cat was clearly stalking him. So it was all justified and ruled to be justifiable defense. And then we had, I think it was a couple years ago, we had an archery hunter in about the middle of the state in Wisconsin that believes he shot a wolf with a pocket 380. I mean, three wolves came running at him. First came within just inches of him, and he kind of like tried to back away, and a second one was coming at him by him, and he thinks he shot that one. He said it looked to me like it was wounded as it ran off. They never found it, a wounded wolf. And then in the same area, within a couple weeks, a couple other people had close encounters with wolves. So it's a rare incident, but today's firearms are so lightweight and the holsters are so good and it's easy to carry that, of course, I don't go out in the woods in northern Wisconsin unless I have a firearm with me anymore. So in a way, maybe that's positive because it teaches people to be more responsible and you know, that's a good thing in my opinion.
Now, these areas where they've reintroduced wolves, these areas where they want to reintroduce grizzly bears, is there enough game in the ecosystem to where these bears aren't going to have to be looking and going, so which way is Seattle?
Yeah. I'd say that the bears do have serious population effects on ungulates, you know, elk and deer and moose. And what they do is, the way that they reduce the population is they feed on the calves, shortly after they're born. They actively hunt, deer fawns, elk fawns, moose calves, and they can get a large number. I mean, I've seen some studies indicating that they may predate, 70-80% of the calves or fawns in a particular year. So, they definitely can have an impact on game populations. And wolves, without question, can really reduce game populations because it takes a lot of game to feed a pack of wolves.
Right.
So those are valid reasons why our forefathers, only like two generations ago, I mean, when my grandfather was homesteading in bought land in northern Wisconsin, it was pretty wild yet.
Right.
So his father, it was, there was a serious concern because people lived off of the stock, the livestock that they raised. And when a wolf or a bear, or a wolf pack or a bear took a cow or a few sheep or a pig, that was that much less the people had to eat. So just when I was a boy, when I was about 11 or 12 years old, I remember that we'd report there was a black bear that had attacked a horse at a farm 20, 30 miles from us. So the biggest problem for reintroducing these predators is that when the game has been reduced down to a significant level, they start looking for other meals.
And right.
Generally, the first place they start looking is livestock on farms. And the other thing that happens a lot, and really it's a problem with coyotes,
right,
is pets. People's dogs and cats with coyotes. You know, if you've got a cat population, it often is severely reduced when coyotes come into an area. And dogs are killed by wolves with a significant regularity. And we've had reports of mountain lions killing lots of dogs' pets in California after they banned the hunting of mountain lions for about 50 years in California. Right. Used to be mountain lions were afraid of almost any dog because they had experience of being hunted by packs of dogs. So they were very wary of even a small dog. But because they're not hunted much anymore, hardly at all, California, they now apparently feel perfectly justified or unafraid to kill pet dogs and make a meal of them.
Right. Well, that was, but I mean, if they start looking for pets, that means they're in close proximity to housing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I think that happens. Now, I haven't seen as much information on bears killing dogs as wolves and coyotes and mountain lions. It just seems that they're maybe not as adept as grabbing dogs or whatever, but they make a mess. They break into houses. You have to be extremely careful. Lock up your garbage. Don't leave any pet food outside. And of course, the grizzlies in particular are known livestock killers. So, it comes down to if you have to live with these predators, you generally prefer they weren't there.
Right.
But if you don't have to live with them, you just make it somebody else's problem, then it's okay. In economics, we call this externalities. You don't have to pay for the externalities, so you don't worry about it.
Right.
Let somebody else worry about it. Don't raise taxes on you or me. Raise them on that guy behind the tree who happens to be a cattle rancher out in Wyoming.
Yeah. That whole thing. When I saw that was happening, my first thought was, were you going to look into that? Now, will there be any sort of like an impact study on how this will affect this area when they release these bears?
That's a good question. I would think there should be, but you know, we live in a society now where how the law is enforced depends on where you stand politically. And so I don't know if they're going to require an impact study. They should, but the EPA is highly politicized as well.
Right.
We will see. I mean, in my opinion, the EPA should never have been granted the authority to seize property without recompense, and yet they've been doing it for over 50 years. So who knows
if
what we would call normal legislative or criminal or lawful procedures will be followed.
Who can tell? Anyway, we're about to run out of time. Find Dean's work at amaland.com. Nearly 2,400 articles, all of them this kind of thing, this kind of thought-provoking thing. What is this doing? Why are they doing this? This is dangerous. This is the impact on humans, this kind of thing. He takes a nice deep dive in on it, and I appreciate him coming and sharing his stuff with me. So I'll be talking to you soon, sir. Thank you.
Very good. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. As for me, I'll be back in 23 hours. Between now, 21 hours. And between now and then, remember this, it has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It always has been, it's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
At Staccato, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
When it comes to online gun shops, Primary Arms is one of America's largest retailers of new firearms, parts, accessories, and gear. They stock over 600 popular brands, all with everyday low prices and fast shipping. If you ever have any questions about a product, their team of product experts will help you make the right purchase. So, don't settle for less. Visit PrimaryArms.com today and see why so many gun owners make it their first destination for all of their firearm needs.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com, gcnfood.com.